Back into the legislative session, we've got State Representative Emily Chenevere with us. Welcome back. How are you?
I am well. Good morning. Good to see you.
Likewise. Likewise. Glad to have you back in here. Got a couple of items that you've been on that I want to touch on. And then we'll back things up a little bit to talk about the session as a whole as we're getting closer to the end.
Yeah.
Can we start with your bill that would tackle litigation financing disclosure?
Yes. Something we like to call TPLF. Third-party litigation finance.
There you go.
So, yeah, that bill made its way. It's currently sitting in Jude A. Most likely it's probably going to sit there, we think. Mm-hmm. It is HB 336. And so what this was part of the commissioner's package, the insurance reform. I heard you on earlier with our congressman, Eric Graves, talking about insurance reform. This was one of those bills that was very important. What it does is it just basically does not prohibit it. It just says, hey, we're just going to disclose who is at the table, who could potentially, receive funding, receive their payment based on the contingent on the outcome of a case. And so, it's actually a billion-dollar industry that is growing rapidly. I get articles sent to me all the time since I filed this bill about more of this happening around the country.
Give me some examples.
Well, so here's what's hard. We have, there's a couple examples of in Louisiana, but the problem is we don't really know because it's not disclosed.
Okay.
So they're starting to see just litigation going on longer, getting more expensive. And it's kind of like, what's happening at the table? Why are these cases getting so expensive in some of these places? So it's one of those things that you can't fully understand it until it's disclosed. And
right.
So some people say, well, it's not happening here. Then great, let's just disclose it. And then maybe it's not happening, right? But we know that there is there's some funding going on.
Right, and lawsuits cost money.
They cost money.
Eventually you get to where you're raising the question, where are you getting all this money from to keep this lawsuit going?
To keep it going.
And as opposed to being resolved. Okay, if we don't have examples of specific cases because they don't have to be disclosed right now.
And I will say there are some across in other states, because other states are starting to pass some of this legislation. Mm-hmm. And I had a list of them. They're not in front of me right now. But there's a couple states that are, you can look at it. And some of that litigation, their legislation may be a little bit different than the one I have, but it's very similar. Some of them actually require you to show the actual amounts. Mine did not. You could redact it. You could say, look, we don't have to even see how much you're doing, how much you're making.
Right, right.
And again, it's not even saying that you cannot do it. And it's not anything that's not contingent on the outcome. So a loan or medical costs that are costing during a litigation case. It's not that expense, right? It's that. So the problem is it's stalled. There's another bill. Senator Stein has a bill. Gabe Furman amended it on the House side when it came over, and it deals with foreign third-party financing.
Yep.
Not the exact same thing, but similar, but, for foreign adversaries. So that was amended on the House floor. It went back to the Senate. The Senate rejected the amendments. And so we'll see what happens in conference committee, at that point.
So essentially, with your bill stalled, the other bill picks up about what? Half the ground?
It's just a different, it's different,
okay.
Right? You've got a situation where you have dealing with TPLF from foreign investors. And so that would be more of disclosing it to the attorney general. This is who's helping finance this, right? Mine is not that. Mine is like looking, making it within the courts and looking at what's going on and who's at the table. So it's really just, and it deals a lot with a lot of our commercial insurance and a lot of our businesses where they're tied up in these lawsuits. And so a lot of business and industry, they care greatly about this issue. Look, everything is a big, we always say every bill in the package, Brian, was about insurance cost, right?
Right.
And it's every bill matters. It's not just one bill. It's not just this bill that I was carrying or even just Stein's bill for that foreign adversary situation. It's some things that my great colleague, Michael Mellorin, Representative Mellorin has been carrying. I'm sure you'll be talking to him at some point.
This time tomorrow.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. So people need to listen to him. A great bill passed that Senator Seebald carried on the Senate side yesterday. So there's a lot of working parts going on with this, and there's a lot of great colleagues that are really, until we gavel out, are trying to get everything we can across the finish line.
Well, I know it probably seems, from a listener standpoint, like I've been paying way too much attention to insurance bills this session. It's because we needed our own special session on insurance. There should have been, hindsight being 2020 and all, we had the stupid map session, and then we had the crime session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not arguing with either of those.
Right.
But if we had like another week or two carved out, this would have been the next top priority.
And I think sometimes insurance is not always a super exciting thing to talk about, right? Or, you know, it's one of those things, but it matters because we're paying for it. We're paying for it every day. And there's, I talked to parents. I have gone to places, Brian. I was at an event last week, a wonderful nonprofit event, a luncheon. And I had people come up to me and say, just so you know, all of our, we were sitting around a table. It was like, you know, mortgage lenders and different groups saying, we are seeing what you guys are doing. We're paying attention to insurance.
Right.
Moms, they're trying to get like an older car so their child can drive. It's not the cost of the little older car. It's the cost of insurance, right?
100%.
And so you're thinking about everyday people. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. Doesn't matter who you are. Look, our businesses, our truckers, we've got to create a space in Louisiana where people say, hey, we're there. We want to be there. We want to work. We want people to stay here. And we got to get out of this litigation kind of a quote hellhole situation, right? This judicial hellhole where we don't want to be that anymore.
100%. And it's very easy to say insurance isn't sexy. It's very, but you know what is sexy? Having an extra grand or so at the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Right?
And everybody feels that, right?
Yeah.
Especially with inflation and prices. So if you can bring those costs down, and I think that there's people that are working very hard at the Capitol, and I see it every day, that we're pushing hard to make sure that people are reaching out to their senators, say, look, we need these last few bills, reaching out to their representatives.
Okay, so that brings us up to this question that I keep bringing up, and I don't know if we're going to have an answer to until after the session's over with. But is there a critical mass here where, or is there some kind of line of demarcation of the number of insurance bills that needed to cross the finish line in order for us to see any results at all when it comes to our premiums?
Look, I think it's a great question. I think it's a really good question. Our Commissioner Tim Temple has talked about that. I think it's one of those things that we don't know what is all signed yet, right? So it's hard to say right now. My goal, and I think a lot of people's goal that we're running and we're talking to our constituents, is like we want to get as many as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Because in the conversation, you know, we try to compare to different states. There's no reason Louisiana should be the most expensive cost,
right,
for people. And so what happens is different states have different pieces. They may have these couple things that we're doing here, but they have something else that we don't have that causes their cost to go down. So I think the more that we can push, the more that we can do a part of that package and get as much as we can pass, I think we're going to be in a way better spot than we are now. I mean,
yeah,
we're some of the most expensive costs. So we have to do something. We can't just say, well, we tried to do a couple things a few years ago and that's enough. It's not enough.
Well,
we have to keep working.
But we did try a couple of years ago and well, then COVID happened and everything kind of left the rails from there. But, and we were also a little overpromised. Mm-hmm. Because it was focused on one thing in particular. This time around, Commissioner Temple looks like he's got a much broader approach.
And I think that's the focus right now.
Right.
It's not saying this one bill or just this one or mine or Miller's. It's that we've got to do these things in totality to try to make it all benefit the taxpayers and our constituents.
We got a couple minutes left with State Representative Emily Chenevier. I do want to get to some of the your other bills. I mean, you put out what, 5-6 bills?
Yes.
For your first session,
yes,
out there.
Yes.
What does look like it's crossing the finish line?
Yeah. So I've got a bill that's going to be on the Senate side, HB 904. Basically, it's just a reporting, a transparency bill on, let's see what we're spending on when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion, mm-hmm, within K through 12 and then within universities. Worked with the Board of Regents on adapting some things on the House floor just so they knew what it was and what it wasn't. And so it's just more of a report. So it's not prohibiting anything, but it's saying, what are we spending? What are the programs? You know, how is it benefiting our students? So that should be on the Senate side this week. Should make its way. I've got a couple things that, you know, I had HB 6 at one point talking about the legislatively approved school districts. It kind of turned into a St. George bill, which that was not the intent.
Right.
It was just the timing when it was on the House floor and then the ruling of St. George. And so that bill a little bit, I'm waiting to kind of see what was going to happen with the Constitutional Convention, because that would have been a constitutional amendment on,
right,
the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I just paused it to make sure that we could see what was going to, you know, work better for the fall. But I'm excited about my baby box bill. Senator Bass had a similar bill on the Senate side. And so basically we are working together. I was able to help amend that on the floor yesterday. So I'm going to be working with Senator Bass on that bill and merging it to where his was a little further down the finish line. And so basically,
what bill is this?
We talked a little bit about it once before, but it's a bill that's going to allow devices that are going to be able to save children, where if a mother, you know, sometimes you see some of these stories where a child is left on the side of a road or in a dumpster, unfortunately, right?
Okay.
When a mother mother cannot take care of the child, maybe a newborn. And so what this does, there's an organization that has these phenomenal boxes that can be installed in the exterior wall of like a fire station, or that's 24 hours, right, if they would like. It's not mandated, as well as a hospital. And so I'm working with, I had a bill that was like over 100 votes on the House floor. Senator Bass had a good bill. So I'm working with him. We're going to kind of come together and create one that and merge together, because like I say, it's not about whose name is first. It's about what the bill does.
It's
and that's
basically
what I'm at
to care about. It was, now that you, okay, now I remember making very inappropriate jokes about Blockbuster Video.
So it's a good bill. It's a great bill.
No, it is. It's a fantastic idea. It protects both anonymity and life at the same time.
It really is. We just want to protect those babies and give them a chance to live.
100%. We got about a minute and a half left in the segment. I got to ask you about the Constitutional Convention. I know y'all are sitting on the House side right now. You know, look across the lobby and see what's going on the Senate side. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks are losing confidence in the idea of a Constitutional Convention coming to fruition. Mm-hmm. Where are you at?
Look, I'm hopeful still. I'd love to see it happen. I think there's some things that we need to do. I've said from day one when the idea came up that this was not going to be a rewrite. We were going to be just kind of tweaking some things and refreshing it and moving some things out of the Constitution into statute, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. I think there's going to be a lot of conversations both today and tomorrow, because next week is, I mean, we're getting to the end. So I don't have an answer for you, Brian, today, but I'm sure we'll be getting some answers pretty quick. We'll see what happens.
Is there room to turn, and I hate to put it in these like crude terms, but is there room to turn from legislator to lobbyist? Like once it passed on the House side, can y'all move over to the other side and be like, come on, vote.
Come on, vote.
Let's move it. Let's
get
across.
I mean, we're always talking about we have a fiscal session next year. And so there's a lot of discussions about trying to figure out how we can utilize some of the dollars that we cannot. Our hands are tied as legislators.
Right.
So that's a big portion, because then you're going to be stuck in a situation where you're having to, where are you going to cut? And so that's where we don't want to be in that situation next year. So that's where I'm like, I'm for it. Look, when I ran, I was here. There may be long days and long months, as it has been, but I'm here for it. And I think that we owe it to the people. So
there's some talk of a lot of legislative fatigue. I know every individual legislator I ask is like, no, I'm raring to go. But that's like a coach asking a player if they want to come out of the game.
This is true.
You're going to see that they're tired, coach. And so and there's a little bit of balance there.
There is.
I will say this. Without a constitutional convention, there is no way that 0.45-cent sales tax rolls off next year.
Look, we're going to have to make some tough decisions. And that's we all know this. And so we're talking about that. So I'm pushing for it. I know people do get tired. I know we've been here a long time. But that's why we ran. And I think to make some good strides for the state and, to go forward. So I'm here for it.
She's State Representative Emily Chenevier. I always appreciate the time.
I appreciate it as well.